Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Osio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asada of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginali Tohiju Tohigu, which means, hello, cousins. I'm fine. How are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Anuntiwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation. Well, hi, everybody. It's Bluewater. I've got Mark on the line. And I understand you had a update or something for us. This forest is...
Yes, I do.
Folks, this is my Cherokee friend Forrest Liggett, lives in Missouri, and real active on the white path of the red road. So what you got going on, Forrest?
Well, there's a lot of things been going on, well, you know, for many years now. Of course, it's accelerating at this point in time. There was a gathering just this last week up in north of Winnipeg at Turtle Island with Dave Corchin. A bunch of elders up there, Orville Looking Horse, and a bunch of other ones. And then there's the Medicine Wheel gatherings going on June 21st in Arizona and Sault Ste. Marie and Costa Rica and down into South America, all simultaneous. And now we scheduled one for... the fall equinox here in Missouri, in the middle of Turtle Island, at the equinox for the last balanced gathering, sort of like a last call before 1221. And
that sounds good. Now the medicine wheel, I know Benny was getting ready to do one March 20th, and his father's taken real ill. Has he rescheduled that?
No, I just now saw that on the computer 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Because that had been planned for June
Mark, May 20th.
Well, most of them were in the June 19th to 22nd area.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were going to be up at Sault Ste. Marie and down in Arizona and everywhere else. So I know the one in Arizona is still going on because the Mamos of Columbia, Arawaks, are still coming up.
Oh, cool.
I don't know now because it just happened a couple minutes ago.
Benny's was May 20th, and he canceled it because of his father's very ill.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about the one now at Sault Ste. Marie because I was just on the Facebook with Skyweaver, Grandmother Skyweaver, a few minutes ago.
Oh, I see it. There's a link on there. It's the Eagle and Condor Nations United North Central and South America 4,000-mile medicine wheel, June 19, 2021. You can go to earthwisdomfoundation.net, look on the right-hand side. Yeah, they're going to center it somewhere near Panama, apparently. And, Sault Ste. Marie, somewhere in the Caribbean. There's a map of it. earthwisdomfoundation.net/4000_MILE_MEDICNE_WHEEL.html, or just go to earthwisdomfoundation.net. Yeah, it looks like it'll be interesting. The first phase will be completed in July in Costa Rica. The ceremony will heal the thoughts and emotions of the Atlantean and Lemurian energies. Fascinating, yeah. So
that's going on, and then we're gonna host one up here in Missouri, September, like 20th to 24th, to get the autumn equinox, the last balance before 12/21.
Well, that's cool. Is there anything on the net about that?
Well, no. We my council had our meeting last night.
Okay. you guys got a website?
No, we don't. So I'm gonna have to start getting stuff together, put it, maybe on your website. And,
yeah, we'll host it. Just get yourself
Adam DeArmond's and put it out there. But
if you want to get a domain name, we can host it on my website, and I'll fix you up with FTP and host it for free. You've got unlimited bandwidth.
Excellent.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Just say the word. And Mark, you with us?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll bet you've been trying to figure out Forrest's Mayan birth date, May 29,
52. Yeah,
what do you know about, what can you tell Forrest about himself that he don't know?
1952.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That day in the Mayan traditional day count would be a day called Nine Kwok. It's the 130, day 139 of the 260 cycle. And it's the numbers... The nine of the nine Kwok gives us an idea about things of having to do with authority, especially more of a feminine or female type energy in the authority. So emotional things may be guiding the authority. Intuition probably has maybe some artistic capabilities. The Kwok glyph itself has a lot to do with friends and families, even things like disciples and stuff like that. So kind of close-knit groups of people. The Kwok glyph is also on one of the codexes. I forget which one it was now. I think it's the Paris Codex. I'm not sure. But it's on there, and it also ties in with he was speaking about Turtle Island, because sometimes it's also called the Turtle Glyph in some cases. And so it's in the Chuen cycle. So it is a day that's mentioned in the Mayan book Chilam Balam, where it talks about where the Yunal or the 20-day count was started. And it started on that particular cycle that he was born in. He was born on the ninth day of that cycle. So that book, well, has some, I don't have it here right now, but it'll have some comment about that particular day as well. So that kind of is a connection back, actually, between his birth and actually when the 20-day count started.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of... Now, looking at the other side, we'll switch and we'll look at multiple. This viewpoint, getting ready to give us from the perspective of the next world cycle, looking backwards.
Hey, Forrest, by the way, were you born before or after sundown?
I can't remember.
Yeah, well, I didn't ask you if you remember. I didn't know whether you knew or not. So
I'd have to check on the...
Yeah, you find out because you were born... I just want to interject. You know, he was talking about a community. You were born right before the Hebrew festival of Shavuot, which is the Jewish holiday that occurs. You were born on the 5th of Sivan. Commemorates the anniversary of the day God gave the Torah to the whole Israelite nation. And they get together and have this big festival during this period of time. And but go ahead. I don't want to get you sidetracked.
No, that's okay. Sounds like it fits right in.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out his right. Yeah, it does.
So the things I'm going to be saying next are going to be kind of from the perspective of the next world cycle looking back, although it's going to cover a forward flow of time moving from our cycle to the next, a backward flow of time moving from it backwards to us. So it's moving from what we call the future back to us in the past, what would be the past, and then where the two come together. So the first one, the flow of time going forward, that's from your birth, and it has a lot about things of peace, hope, equality, soul, joy, intention, things like that seem to have been maybe some important factors in your life.
I aim in that direction. All those directions, yes, thank you.
And the on the other flow, and this is things I typically tell people, it's kind of from past experience, it's things that tend to have, it's on the backward flow, so it's moving from the future coming back towards us, which we're moving closer to now. So it, in essence, it should, we would expect, because we're getting closer to it, it's getting stronger. And it's been maybe getting stronger from around the year 1998 forward. And this energy is, it's speaking of things like love, loyalty, heart, good virtues, things having to do with light, especially radial spiral type of light. Some jaguar energy here, receptivity, mystical things. And it is in it's in the cycle of Kuok, so it's connecting back to the one we were talking about earlier with the Kuok energy. And that's bringing in some additional aspect of the family, because the cycle is called the Kuok cycle of the ancestral path. So some of this family is the ancestors. So,
well, if I could interject here for just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely spot on, because 1998... was the first ghost dance I went to with Robert Ghost Horse, which was just a totally awesome...
You mean Ghost Wolf?
Yeah, Ghost Wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
Life-changing, eye-opening, spirit-opening experience. And that had a big point in changing my path that I'm on now. And, of course, the ghost dance, spirit dance, welcome to the spirit dance, whatever you want to call it, is directly tied into the ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Mark's reading so far is spot on.
Were the Hopi elders there?
Yes, there were Hopi elders there.
That's what I heard. And after that, they called him chief.
Orville Looking Horse was there. That was, but most important, the Great Spirit was there.
Mm-hmm.
The first night of the dance, after a few hours of dance, thunderstorms came in from all four directions at once.
Shoot!
And danced right over the dance grounds. Poured on us. We had to break and scatter. Quit, passed over, came out, and here comes the full moon with a double rainbow at 2 o'clock in the morning. The most brightest, awesome double rainbow you've ever seen in your life.
Wow.
I was a believer. So, yes, Mark's, diagnosis there is spot on. 1998 is a major changing path for me, especially related to the ancestors.
So we take these... go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just said wow.
Oh, okay. So we take these two now, and we'll move them to where we have the third part, and that's where these two time flows come together into a form of a zero point or a doorway that moves between the world cycles. And for you, that is a day for Chakan, which is a serpent energy, or the Chakan would relate to the Quetzal in Quetzalcoatl. That's the serpent part of his name. It's talking about things where we use all these other things you've been working on, and it's talking about survival instinct, life force, using sacred power, dimensionality, dimensional form, prophecy, dreaming, intuition, and things like that. So it's basically saying now use all these good things and figure out how to make it through.
Well, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. We just organized this little gathering here for 4 months from now, and that came up, was birthed last night. So, yes, trying to use these gifts and talents that I've accrued over the past half a many years and put it to the good of the rest of the people.
What you got to do?
Well, blessings are a flowing water. If you try to keep the blessings, it stagnates. You've got to pass them on.
Outstanding. So, anything else interesting going on? Any more feedback about the North Carolina meeting? We heard from Terry.
Yeah, I've heard from Terry, and things have calmed down there. There was, the drama has concluded, and things are going on smoothly. And what's the date today?
8th of May.
Yeah. Okay. He probably had another ceremony 2 weeks ago. I have another one about once a month, third or fourth week of the month is when they're doing that, and there'll be a bigger one here at the end of May, the New Corn, I believe it is.
Uh-huh.
And depends on our work schedule. We're
right.
Really snowed under here, but we should have twin granddaughters by then down in South Carolina, so it'd be a really good excuse to go down there about that time.
Oh, is that right? Well, be sure and stop through here on your way.
Yeah, we'll stop and have lunch again.
Absolutely.
Or early dinner, or whatever, late lunch, early dinner.
Absolutely. Looks like we've got five listeners, and folks, if you've never called in before, I want to encourage you to call in and get free Mayan birthday reading. And if you're trying to get in and are not getting through, let's see. If you're trying to get through and can't, would you get on Facebook and go to the Prophecy Keepers Listeners Group and give us a call give me a shout and I'll get your phone number and we'll see if we can get you on. But other than that, the number is 347-996-3318, or you can Skype in and but if we don't have a call here in the next couple of minutes, I'm just going to go ahead and start up the interview with Maria Oresbro, which should be really interesting. We would have had another live interview with her, but she's been absolutely book solid. She's doing a lot of traveling, and her link to her website and what she's up to is right there on the page. Just click on her name. But anyway, yeah, if you don't, unless you want to get your wife on, we could do her. Is she around?
Well, yeah, but what I wanted to ask you originally when I, typed to you, be wonderful to get you out here in Missouri in September.
Yeah, it'd be something to look forward to.
I think my council could handle your travel costs. And we talked one time, you said you like sleeping better in a recliner than a bed.
Yeah, no problem.
I have two of those in my living room.
Oh, cool.
It's 12 miles from the grounds, 15 minutes.
Oh, great.
So just put that, pencil it in on the calendar.
What's the date?
Be about the 20th to 24th of September.
Oh, yeah, that's the equinox. Something like
that.
Or
Feast of Trumpets on the solar Hebrew calendar. Before they got messed up with their lunatic calendar that they got from the Babylonians.
Yeah, see, you're born that festival of Shavuot. It's the festival of weeks.
Yep.
And it's a big deal. You were born on the 49th day. See, they count the Omer. And you were born on the 49th day. That mitzvah or deed derives from the Torah commandment to count 49 days, beginning on the day on which the Omer sacrifices. It's a measure of barley, and they count.
It's harvested across the hill from the temple now, and all that kind of stuff. But that was way later when they got these directions, they were still on the solar calendar, and they didn't have to go across a hill to find out what day it was.
Mm-hmm.
See if the barley was Aviv yet, and is it the new moon with the Aviv barley? They were going by the solar calendar like everybody else.
Yeah,
that was exactly when the equinox is. That's when the spring phase start. Fall equinox.
Yeah, that's
is the
that's
fall
why
phase.
They watch. They watch for the that little sliver of moon.
Yeah, I mean,
the Omer begins the second day of Passover for rabbinic Jews, and after the weekly Shabbat during Passover for the Karaites, and the day before the holiday or on the 50th day. So you're born just before that. And,
yeah, they got that lunar calendar from the Babylonians when they were in exile for 70 years. Before that, they had the solar calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter what the barley was doing in Jerusalem, because they weren't even in Jerusalem yet.
Man, yeah.
They knew exactly what day it was. Every ancient civilization knew the equinoxes and the solstices. They all had that capability. So, anyway, we'll be doing this on the solar calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send you the I'll send you a link so you can take a look at that. And oh my gosh, we've got callers. I apologize.
Okay.
Callers, I apologize to you. Well, I want to apologize to you. You just joined us, or just one caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, I know who this is. Yeah, I won't blow your cover.
How's it going, Will?
I'm doing fine. The folks, this.
Thanks to you and your guest for putting on the show.
Oh, this is my friend Tom Chittum. Tom is the author of Civil War II, which you ought to take a look at. And he's a Vietnam veteran, and he volunteered to fight the bad guys over in Bosnia. And they got a poke in the eye with a sharp stick for his Hey, this would be interesting. What's your birth date? Your full birth date, Tom?
February 28, 1947.
Okay. Wow, somebody older than me. I like it.
2/28/1947. Okay. We'll take a look at that. And see what's going on. Did you catch that, Mark?
February 28, 1947.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, in the traditional Mayan day count, that day was 3 Eek, and Blue Water has a lot of people with some Eek energy showing up on.
Yeah, that's wind. That's wind and communication and having to get the word out. He's an author, and well, you've written several books, haven't you?
Are you speaking
right?
to me, Will?
Yeah. This is about your Mayan birth date's about communication and urgency.
Oh, communication.
And you've written several books now, haven't you?
No, just one. I'm working on another one, which I'm going to call Mackinder's War, about the British military theorist Halford Mackinder, who drew up the actual battle plan for the conquest of the world.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is fascinating. We actually just need to do a full interview for you on this and announce it so we get people to come in and listen, because you're a military historian. You've got some very important I'm lost for words. I've been working so hard in the garden, my mind is really tired. Your perspective. You got a very high
perspective. Right, perspective. That's a good word.
And, yeah, you got literally an eagle's eye view, but, yeah, go ahead and tell him some more, Mark.
Well, that day 3 Eek is the 42nd day of the 260-day cycle. Blue Waters was on 9 Eek, which is the 22nd day, so there's actually an exact 20-day cycle between your birth and his birth. Terms of the glyphs, so that shows an interesting connection. It may explain why you guys working with each other. On the other one, we're going to go. This one's going to go through more of the energy flows going forwards and backwards from the perspective of the next world cycle, and then a unity of the forward and backward time flow into the unity of those two. So on the forward one, it has things talking about prophecy, kind of connecting everything together, oneness, Omatakies and Inlakesh, as the Mayans would say, along with things like synchronicity, movement, and thought. So exploring things. So things like that may have been shown up. Change and things are associated with change on that too, transformation or transmutation or changing of things. It's a day that actually is connected into the what is called the Aztec Sunstone. If you look at the top of that thing, it has two serpent tails connecting into a reed symbol or an Akadal symbol, And your energy here is connecting into that particular part of that prophecy stone. And so that particular area of the stone is relating to two serpents moving in opposite directions, and those serpents symbolize the torsion fields and energy fields that actually govern creation and how things appear. And in a hologram, it would be the two, how the laser splits and the two beams of light, and they interact with each other to generate interference patterns, and then you look at it with the right light and it looks like it's three-dimensional. It would relate to that. So, and that particular symbol also would connect back into the stars of the Pleiades. So there might, you may have some Pleiadian connection somewhere. On the other flow, moving backwards, so moving from what we call the future backward in time, and this is energy that may have, in the recent years, been getting stronger. It's more things about transformation of things, changes, things about challenges of polarity of things, you know, the opposites coming together in the balance. And it also has some eek energy in it. Both of those are white colors, so they have to do with the direction of the north, and obviously would connect into things like white buffalo and stuff like that. And that's going to have things about breath, spirit, prayer, communication. That's connects into the throat chakra to some extent. And it also has some of the serpent energy that we were talking about before, because it's in that cycle. And it would also potentially may pick into things like the crystal skulls, things like that. And where these two time flows come together, you have something that connects to our other guest. You have a quark energy, which is a storm or turtle or that type of energy, and it's about family and community and cooperation, teaching, you know, things of teaching especially about goodness, the right way of doing things. Some eagle energy here that has to do with vision, mind, power of mind, and then revealing things, uncovering and revealing things, and putting them out there. That would also connect into the whole thing with the eagle energy, with the prophecy of eagle or condor, with the eagle being the north and the condor being the south. So you'd probably be doing your part in the north. So, and a little bit of things here, the cycle that's governing that particular day has things to do with heart and loyalty and friendship, too. So a lot of things about that, you know, family, friends, cooperating, and then teaching stuff, doing things to teach and communicate.
Cool. Are you still with us, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Yeah. Is that,
I thank your guest for his comments.
You betcha. Yeah. Let's get you on for a full interview. I want to pass along a message to you from. Raylan Allen. She said hi, and love to have you back someday, and I'll talk to you more about that later. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good deal. We've got Elizabeth from, where in California are you?
Concord,
okay.
Yeah.
And what's your full birthday, if you want to? You're a lady if you want to give it up.
June 27th. It's okay. I look much younger than my year, so I have no problem. It's June 27th, 1970.
6/27/70. Okay.
Yes.
6/27/70. Let's see what we can come up with here. You still with us, Mark? Yeah, I can hear Mark.
June 27th, 1970?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so on the traditional Mayan day count, Blue Otter's not going to believe this one. We got another eek.
Wow.
Eight eek. This is the 242nd day of the of the 260-day calendar. It's in the Eagle cycle, which connects to the Eagle of what we just did on his reading. So all the things about spirit, breath, communication, that the Eek energy applies. And maybe some things also with art and subtle type of thinking, subtleties. So you might, and there's something called subtle energy. It's a nickname, kind of a new quantum physics name for chi and prana and that type of stuff. So you may have some talents on that, especially when you use them in combination with mental aspects of vision seeking and things like that.
Wow.
And when's also her, some things about...
when's her next Mayan birthday?
When's her next... talents on that, especially when you use them in combination with mental aspects.
You want to close your... somebody's got an open browser, so we're getting... if somebody has
not
a browser... Okay.
Yeah, it's not me.
Be tough. Okay.
You're asking when was her next one?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. It's going to take a little bit to figure it out. It's going to be... Boy... Let me see what's going to be it. Somewhere in... Let's see. Let's see. Where's the next one at?
See, what you need to do is... best time to go out for... Vision Quest is during your Mayan birthday, and as you get closer, give us a call, and we'll give you instructions on how to do it. And about 10 days before, give us a call or a message, and we'll turn you on to this.
It's going to be on March 13th, 2013.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so
okay.
She just passed one.
So I just had one?
Yeah.
Wow. No, March 13th, 2013.
Right.
Will be the next one.
So when was this last one? Like 200 and something days before that? Or like the cycle of the calendar, I guess? Or?
Well, let's see. Oh, hold on. Maybe, well, let's see. Now we'll have another one coming up here. I missed one. There's going to be another one coming up here, let's see, June 26th.
Oh, wow.
So just a few weeks from now, right after Transit of the Sun. So June 26th, 2012. There'll be one there, too. That'll be the next one.
Thank you.
Good deal, yeah.
Hmm?
So she was 8 Eek. Oh wow, yeah, that's all about we're I don't know, we attract these. It's amazing. We get a lot of people with this Eek energy. That's pretty significant. It's spelled I K, and
okay.
Just do a Mayan or just do a Google search for the number 8 followed by IK and the word mine, and you can read up on it. But
thank you.
Hey, sure, yeah, call back anytime.
Definitely. Okay, well, blessings to you both for the great work you're doing. Thank you.
You bet. Oh, it's lots of fun.
All right.
Yeah, folks.
All right, take care.
Hey, thanks a lot. Go ahead and hang up if you would. We're at 347-996-3318, or you can Skype in. Let's see here. I'm looking to see. Got a bunch of people on here tonight. And okay. Anyway, yeah, that's interesting, Mark. Yeah, I'm trying to sort out the switchboard here because we've got a lot going on. We had one person called in and apparently he left the line and
I couldn't hear him say anything. So if I sound tired, it's because I am. This is planting season, and I built 12 4x4 square foot gardens last year, and wasn't able to plant till just now because you don't plant in Tennessee till about the 1st of May, and because I don't have my greenhouse built, so I'm absolutely whipped. Anyway, well, it doesn't look like we've got any more callers. Now, let's see, who all's on the line with us? Is anybody on the line with us beside Mark?
I don't think so.
And, okay, yeah, because it shows we've got a three. Are you area code 301, Mark?
No.
Oh, okay. Who's on with us from area code 301? Are you there?
Kittleman, Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, you're still there? Okay, good deal. I didn't know whether you're still there or not. So, yeah, I had a whole bunch of... what else you been up to, Tom?
Well, I did have one question for your guest.
Sure.
If you'd be so kind, and that is, according to Mayans, what is anything really going to happen in this year or not?
Well, a lot of the things are not... or things that a lot of other people, ideas other people have come up with. There is even some debate on if the long count acts, 13-ton long count ends or not on December 21st. As best we can tell, likely it is. And so even Don Alejandro, the leader of the 440 Mayan clans, he basically goes with that date and uses that current, that day count. So, yeah, December 21st, 2012, the 13-ton will end. They'll start on December 22nd. They'll be in year zero. Zero out the count. And it starts a new cycle of 13-tons. They also say there's various things that can happen. You can see increases in earth, quakes and different things can happen. But they don't necessarily say it happens on that particular day. It's a window of time that can go 5, 7, 10, 15, 20 years. It could be a whole Catan cycle.
Uh-huh.
So some of the stuff we already have seen can be related to it. The fact that, for the last how many years, the world economic system has been teetering. To them, from their viewpoint, that would fit in right with it.
Yeah. And Shahawin Lightfoot just joined us too, guys, from out in near Alamogordo. How you doing tonight, Shahawin?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? I had a question for Mark, believe it or not.
Sure.
I know you did a reading on me a couple of weeks ago, but I was wondering when my next birthday was on the Mayan calendar. We had talked about so many things, you know.
what was your birthday? Or do you remember your glyph that it gave you?
Actually, no.
What was your birthday? And I'll look it up, and then I'll have to find the next one.
May the 13th.
May the 13th, 1961?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So while he's looking that up, what's going on in your life? Anything?
Nothing much. We had some thunderstorms here. Finally, we got some rain, and it was wonderful. And other than that, everything's going about the same.
Well, that's good.
It's like a quiet period.
Yeah. Let's see. What was the year again?
It's going to be August 13th, 2012.
Okay.
So this year on the 12th of August.
August 13th.
And what's her glyph?
believe it's a 4 o'clock.
Yeah, there we go. Yep. That's right. Yeah, I don't think we've had anybody call in with her. I guess since she called in, we haven't had anybody call in that that have that glyph. Very interesting.
Well, it does connect in to the Eek glyph, because the 4 o'clock is in the Man Eek cycle. And the Man Eek cycle on the hand would have, and some of the things would have a T cross sitting in it. So,
well, would you please email that to me so I can take a look at it?
I'm going to, I'll get that over to you right now. Let's see. I'll send it over via, I'll message it to you via Facebook.
Okay, that would be
now, and one other thing about around that period of August 13th, the current correlation on the long count has the long count beginning around that time period, specifically August 11th in 3114 BC. So when you're doing that on August 13th, if you're making a connection like that, you're going to be relatively close to the whole start of the long count cycle, which would have been one fifth of a precessional cycle in the past.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, did you now you teach circle medicine?
Yes, I teach circle medicine.
And now, before you worked on yourself, did you have problems with unhealed childhood wounds?
Yes, very badly.
Relationship dramas, through hissy fits.
Chaotic. Let's just say chaotic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, woe is me. Anger, frustration.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Maybe overindulged a little bit. But you overcome a lot now, and you're really good at cooperating and being loyal and getting assistance from others, and teamwork.
Yes.
And making personal
teamwork.
Sacrifices for the community, group, or family. Yeah, I sent you that link. Yeah, it's amazing what a good oracle this is. It helps people just make sense out of the chaos in their life, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
Absolutely.
Everybody goes through many things, but when you start working on yourself and you really have to reflect on the stuff that you've been through, then you can really start seeing the cycles and the patterns within your own life.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a tool that you can help. It's like destiny therapy. It's a tool that you can use to help, so people can kind of see themselves in a mirror and understand what their challenges were, what they came here to overcome, and then once they've overcome that, what they're here to do. Basically.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to.
Well, there's one other thing that she might want to think about too.
Uh-huh.
And that is, with this particular glyph, it is helpful to look at things that may have wolf energy. Also, in the Mayan, in those people's tradition, there was a dog, Xoatl, that was was related to the underworld and moving through the underworld. Kind of like the Egyptians had the Anubis.
Wow, that's interesting, Mark.
So that might be something to look for, too, especially on August 13th.
All
right. Yeah, she's got that dog energy, and definitely. How are you with dogs?
I love dogs.
Yeah, well, I figured. most engine girls do.
Right. Yeah, they seem to find me, though. And there's not a dog that doesn't like me.
Yeah, they're. I've been told that even bad dogs. Well, you know, I used to do natural gas leak survey work, so I was in and out of people's yards, and I would think nothing about walking in a yard that had, one place there was. I remember there was two German Shepherds and some other. What's the kind's got the pink spots in their mouth? Oh no, purple spots in their mouth. Anyway, I can't remember. Big, you know, possibly vicious dog. Anyway, I just walk right in, and of course I just act like I own the place, and they just, I'm an intruder. I walk right in their yard, and they just watch me walk in and walk out, but I've had people tell me that dogs never took a shine to anybody, but they seem to like me too.
Well, see, I had to grow up like that because my mama, Nawasa's trained dogs for a living.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she trained for the military. She trained for the police academy.
Oh, is that right?
She was well known. You probably heard of her. Her English name was Barbara Jordan.
Huh.
And that was my mom. So I grew up around watching her train dogs and stuff. And so, like I said, most any dog likes me. But I learned a lot from my mom on how to, how dogs talk.
I met 1971 or two. I was in, I think 72. I met Francis X. Hayes, who was just getting ready to retire the Baltimore Police Department, and he was the guy that introduced K-9 and SWAT into the police departments, and he was quite an interesting guy. At that time, I was thinking about possibly going into law enforcement or military, and it was quite interesting. Every single one of those guys, this is 72, every single one of those guys had a George Wallace pin on their uniform. but anyway.
Well, I found she also has some eek energy, too, because her day, if you counterbalance it across the entire 260 day Zulcan, and the other counterbalancing for her is going to be sitting as the 10th day of the Eek cycle. So she also has the Eek connection too. Not directly, but sort of indirectly as a counterbalance.
Yeah, she's got that dog energy. Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you, Kathy.
Thank you very much.
Call in anytime. Yeah, I just got about 5 minutes before I need to kick off Maria's interview. And if you want to call in, we're at 347-996-3318. And, Mark, I really want to thank you for taking the time today. And,
you're welcome.
Yeah, like I said, if I seem a little spaced out tonight, it's because I am. And I'm a real big guy, and I'm leaning over a lot from the waist. I feel like transplanting and doing stuff like that. It really takes it out of me. I just soar all over. But, anybody that is real inactive during the winter and goes out and does gardening. See, we try to – I haven't talked about this much, but we try to guide this show around the Hopi 10 And you can look that up, Hopi 10, and you can read about the Hopi 10 messages that were given to Chokosh, Aoho, or you can go to prophecykeepers.com and read about it. But things about where's your water, how are your relationships, know your garden, just the real basics, the things that they. They recommended that people take a good look at. Shahawin has left us. But we appreciate you, Mark.
Now, do they have the seeds on that list?
No, it's... let me look it up real quick. It's here.
I'm sputtering.
I should have seeds on the list.
Yeah, basically they said, oops.
I guess that's part of the garden.
I don't know if you can hear that, folks. It's I had to go over to my website to look it up. Basically what happened is she was called, oh, this is quite a long time ago when her kids were small. She was called to the, she had spent some time on the Hopi reservation during the 60s, and they called her and they said, we've got a message. And I'll replay that here real soon. But she went to, she was supposed to go to Oribe, didn't know it, so she sat for a couple of days over at Houghton Villa, and finally somebody came and clued her in and said, you know, you need to go over there. And so she was just, the sun was just getting up, and she got out to relieve herself, and here come the Hopi elders shuffling around the corner, and they said, you know, you've been telling people the 11th hour is approaching, tell them it's here. And there are things to be considered. And they gave her a 10-point checklist. You know, where do you live? You know, not just geographically. That could be, you know, where do you live in your head? You live in your heart? You know, what is it that you do? How are your relationships? And are you in right relation with the earth? Where's your water? Do you know your garden and nature around you? And it takes, you know, a couple, 3 years to get to know a garden. I'm behind the curve on that. And but, you know, be good to each other. Don't look outside yourself for the leader. And they said, this could be a good time, and they clapped just like that. And they wanted people to really pay attention to this message. And they wanted to get it out. And we interviewed Chokosh a couple times back, 2004, 2005. But anyway, well, I need to kick off, if you don't have anything else, it doesn't look like we've got any other callers, I need to kick off Maria's interview, and thank you so much, Mark, and we'll see you again. We'll see you again soon.
Okay.
Hey, bye-bye. Listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, for the present-day Atawahis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello, cousins. I'm fine. How are you? This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booger County and the mysterious Ozarks of Mid-America. And our guest this weekend is Marita Yakesbrew. I think, you know, I was so afraid of mispronouncing your last name. I mispronounced your first name, Maria. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I guess you're calling us from the West Coast, right? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in San Diego right this second.
Ah, beautiful place to be.
It's pretty warm today.
I grew up.
I'm from Arizona, but, you know, here on the coast, it's more humid and stuff.
So yeah, yeah.
It's a little harder to deal with, but it's nice here.
Well, I basically grew up from second, third, fourth, fifth grade in Santa Monica.
Okay.
Sixth grade in Newport Beach.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back for sophomore year of college, so in and out of California quite a bit. But, well, tell folks about who you are and what you do, and understand you've got a message from Creator for people.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, what do I do? For years now, I've been trying to figure out what I do. I do community. I guess that's the best thing that I can say that I do, because I grew up in a traditional family, Apache family, and my grandpa was a holy man. And so I learned a lot of ceremony, and I learned how to gauge cyclic time, and I learned prophecies, and I learned stories, and so now what I do is I just help people try to get sacred again in their life. And so we do a lot of family things and workshops on bringing tradition and ritual back into your life and how everybody can pretty much do that on their own. I guess I kind of teach the way my grandpa taught me. Like, I've written two books now, and the first one was Legends and Prophecies of Akira Okachi. And I'll get into that word Kiro here in just a minute. But that was, you know, the stories I heard growing up as a kid and then listening to the elders talk about the prophecies of these changing times.
Uh-huh.
And then my second book was Prayers and Meditations of the Akira Okachi, which is kind of like just our way of going into the silence and communing with nature and Creator and recognizing that the different earth energies and how they affect that. How Mama Earth really, you know, balances the whole thing out. Kiro, I want to get back to that right quick, because there's been a lot of talk about that recently. Kiro is not a band of Apache. Kiro is the name that the Apache, Kiowa, and Navajo called themselves before 1300 when they were one tribe. And after they split out, the Kiro got dropped. And there were a handful of Apaches left in Mexico after Geronimo surrendered. And they opted to take that name. And sometimes they called the Sierra Madre Apache, sometimes they called the Kiro Apache. Since the book started coming out, I've been hearing from Kiro Apache all over the place, in Florida, in Laytonville, California. I guess there were some that instead of going with Geronimo or staying there in Mexico, came out here to California to settle, and they settled up in the, like, Napa County area.
Now, is that
so,
Spanish word, Kiero?
There's quite a few of us out there, actually. So,
how do you spell it? How do you spell it? Pronounce
it's spelled Q-U-E-R-O.
Okay.
Okay. And about 10, 15 years ago, we started working with the Incan Kiero, and we've been comparing our ways and doing a lot of ritual together.
And we've been finding out how similar the Chero actually are in their ways. And they look upon this as the fulfillment of the Eagle Condor prophecies that we've brought Turtle Island and Heart Island back together in this process. And we've formed some pretty tight alliances with them, and it's really wonderful work.
Great, great. So you've done, well, just tell us about your travels for the last, how long have you been active? How long have you had the feather, been teaching?
I've been teaching since 72.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm old. I turned 50 this year, this last year, and for my tradition, the elders look at me and they say, okay, now you're an adult, you're 50, you can do what you do.
I was going to say, I'll be 51 and
it's a great time of life. I really am enjoying it.
Yeah, Cherokee way, it's like 51, 52.
I've been doing this since 72. I got involved. My grandpa always told me I'd be doing stuff like this. And then when I went to college, I got involved with some psychology people. And that, back in the 70s, that's when everybody was first starting to get into self-help. And so a counselor was a psychologist, and she had just started a group for women. And so she was having some problems because she couldn't. Clinical psychology just wasn't taking it far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about it one day because I was her assistant too, and do the filing and that kind of stuff. And so I started talking to her about rites of passage and the way I was brought up. And we decided, well, we'd take some of those and we'd put these women through it that were in this group. And so they had basically their childhood to their death rites all within a combined program in addition to their psychological support group. And it worked really, really well. And so I guess that's kind of where I started, that and going out to high schools and just talking about, I was part of the American Indian Movement back then and some of the stuff that was going on there. So trying to just have people wake up and see both sides of the coin, We got the sociology stuff that we need to take care of. We need to heal this among our people. But we also have this earth human that it's essential for us to look at our lives as individuals, and you can't see color when it comes to that, because if mama's going to survive, we got to get better.
This is interesting.
That's the bottom line.
There's a lot of natives. Well, people, I've noticed it's there's a lot of people that are native or mixed blood people that want to teach that are attracted to psychology, sociology. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Earth Thunder. But her people were Wolf Clan Ketua people. They went out to the Rocky Mountains before removal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were out there, they became known as the Red Dogs. And they would be up in the, that movie about the Oxbow incident.
Right.
That was made, it wasn't Shoshone people, it was her people.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1951, bunch of loggers discovered her people. They had been living hunter-gatherer up there since the 1830s.
Right.
And living in the mountains in the summer and down in the caves, down in the valleys in the winter.
Right.
And 70 people in her clan, all but 5 children were killed. She was the oldest, and she was 10.
Yeah.
So she was literally classified as a feral child. And was raised in an orphanage, never used a phone until she was like 18. But
yeah.
She eventually became a clinical psychologist.
Yeah.
And then Benny LeVeau also kind of went that route. And
Benny well.
I know, I was in the vocational rehabilitation graduate program Utah State in Logan. And they have I think they've got one of the two special Native American psychology programs there.
Right.
So, lots of good things. You get the best of both worlds because, most Native people have a foot in both worlds.
Right. Well, yes, we do. We walk in between anymore, trying to balance both. And I think the gravitation to the psychology as a way of healing is kind of natural for us because, in our traditional lifestyles, there's many types of medicine people, I guess, you know, and people have specialties. But what I got told was that you go through and you learn it all, and the first step is the counselor, you know, in your training as a medicine person. This is somebody that counsels about dreams, this, you know, counsels about life relationships and stuff like that, because it's what we're closest to. And then you go on and you learn, you know, the healer ways, you know, the rituals, curing.
Well, did you know the guy that played Billy Jack, Tom Laughlin?
Uh-huh.
He became, even though he didn't have a degree or a doctorate in it, he became one of the best-known Jungian psychologists in the world.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Allowed to practice.
Ah, very good. Very good. Well, and, you know, I'm just really pleased with the work that I see coming out of Luis Melmadrona, too. You know, his coyote healing.
We'll be doing him soon. We had him scheduled and had to do a change, but we'll have him back on soon.
Yeah, he was supposed to come out and do a workshop for some of our groups, and he had a family thing that happened. So it's good, but I know he also just relocated to Canada. So.
Well, did you ever run into Grandfather Rolling Thunder if you were?
Yes, back when my children were little.
Well, you probably met Earth Thunder because she hung around him. I guess she found him back in those days, too. I didn't meet him until 92. He was almost dead.
Well, the first time I met him, I think, was actually like in 68. And then he did the funeral services for my grandpa.
Oh, my God.
So, I've had occasion to be with him before his crossing. He was quite a coyote.
He was something else. He was something else, and you know, his son's got a spiritual center
up in Oregon.
Oregon, yeah, we've interviewed him.
Yeah. I haven't been up there yet.
All Spotted Eagle.
But I hear it's quite fantastic.
All Spotted Eagle, and
So
I'm sure you know. it's really interesting how people show their I won't pull any punches. People show their ignorance. There's a lot of discussion about you, you know, on the net, and you know, because I just put your name in on the search engine. I thought, well, you know, there's no such thing as a criminal panicking. Who's you know, this kind of person? It's just, I hate to use the word wannabes, but these people are wannabes themselves. You know, they just they don't have a clue. It's so sad.
Yeah. Well, I have two cards, but you know, I got taught a long time ago because I met with bigotry on both sides. You know, I'm fair skinned, so when I was at home, if I was among people that weren't, you know, just my family bloodline, my clan, then I would run into some of that.
Yep.
But less fair than I actually did with the non-natives when I came off the reservation, because they had a hard time accepting me as not white.
There's a war.
I can't live that way. It was such a different lifestyle. I couldn't live that way.
Yeah.
So I always had to be true to me.
Ghost Wolf says there's a war against mixed bloods from both directions.
Yeah, there actually is. I signed up for one of them blog things the other day. I'm not very good at computer stuff, but I signed up for one. One of the kids in our group said, "Hey, you really should try this." So I signed up, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing from natives all over that live on the fringes of the communities. And when they were smaller, they were all, "Oh yeah, you know, you're part of this." And then, but when they started walking that path where they don't see color, you know, they're only looking at spirit, then here they are. They're ostracized, and they're out there. And so, it looks like we're forming a club.
Cool. Well, the best thing you could probably do is like buy the domain, you know. Buy the domain of your name, Erase Brew, and then buy the domain QueroApache.org and put up a discussion group, and that way people can, because everybody's scattered all over. You probably even got Queros in Australia.
Oh, probably. You know? Probably. We hear from people all over, so it's hard to say. We have a mailing list now of like 450,000.
Oh, my.
So some days it's hard to keep track.
Kidding.
No, it went in 1999, before any of my books came out, we went in like 2 months from like 2,000 to nearly 100,000.
Emails or hard copy addresses?
The email list.
Oh, you're kidding.
People that get our monthly mailings and stuff. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, we're always hearing people keep running into people we know and stuff like that. And it really demonstrates how small the Earth is getting as far as communications. Hey, and you know, that's something I'd like to comment on, because I keep hearing people say, time's sped up and we can't, you know, our lives are just moving so fast and all that stuff. I want to tell everybody that we make time. Time's an illusion, okay? It's created by our reality of what gravity is. And what speeds time up is the instantaneous efficiency of communication. So if you look at back when we had to write letters and it would take 6 months for something to get to someone, time moved much slower then. Now it's like you think it and it's there via the computer, and pretty soon just via our minds doing it, because that's a talent that's coming back in, then time really is going to appear to move fast. And yet, if you look at the planet and its structure, and this is scientifically proven, at the equator, time moves faster than it does at the north or south pole.
Right, that's
because
right.
there's of the mass densities that have to be traveled.
Right.
So really, time there, you know, it's
relative.
All distortion, and it's all an illusion that we create and agree upon, you know?
Right.
So I think, you know, if you get up in the morning and you say thank you to Creator and then kind of plot your course, your days, you're going to make the time. The time's not going to govern you and run you ragged.
Let me ask you one more question, and then I'll interrupt. I'll just let you teach. Did you ever spend much time on the res at Dulce?
Oh, at Dulce?
Hickory Reservation.
Oh, okay, Hickory. No, I didn't spend much time at Hickory. I spent most of my time between three places, at White Mountain,
yeah.
up near Holly Lake, below White Mountain. That's where I grew up.
Well, the reason why I ask you is I went to school with the woman that ended up being their chief, Claudia Vigil Muniz.
Oh, very good.
I was enough with people with her.
Uh-huh.
And she was elected. I'm not sure. I think she's out of office now, but I'm just curious if you knew her.
Yeah, I keep track of politics at White Mountain. That's about as good as I can do.
Yeah. Well, I'll just let you teach now. I won't interrupt you anymore.
So. Okay.
What other people need to know?
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Well, people really need to know right now that they need to start paying attention to what's going on with Earth and her cycle.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking here about Earth, wind, and fire, and water here. The elements are really starting to speak up about the changes that are going on.
Yeah.
You know, our polar axis is shifting, and Mama's trying to recreate herself, and this happens cyclically every so often. And so, you know, like the Mayans right now, I know they're all, like, coming together and talking, and the Incans are talking, and different groups of people. And what's happening is that in the prophecies, we look at it, and the last 9 years going into this new Earth paradigm, that's not a destruction of the Earth. It's saying that energy is going to work differently, so we have to change how we work. And but as we're going into this in mythological context, we call this the initiation of the dragon. So we have 9 initiations we're supposed to go through, and right now we're kind of like in this cyclic change that's happening between now and the new year. It actually falls on the new year, is what we call the changing dragon wolf moon. And that only happens like once every couple million years, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. It's not like it's coming back through during our time. But it's helping bring the energies in and reconnect us to the earth is what it's doing. It's bringing us back into that alignment and that realization that we are part of this. And what we do in our lives affects everything else, and what happens out there is going to affect us.
You're right. The Mayan elders are really speaking up.
Yeah.
Carlos Barrios is doing a lot of talking. He's been on our show once. We're going to interview Adam Rubel on Monday night, and that's his contact up in Santa Fe that runs the runs the foundation, the Sacred Road.
Right.
And Hunbot's man did his first radio. Well, Ghost Roll says he never did a radio interview before he did ours.
No, I believe that's probably possible.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to have him on probably again sometime soon.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that now's the time of the fire, because with the tsunami, we had the water. With the Hurricane Katrina, we had the air. Then with this last earthquake, we had the earth upheaval, and now comes the fire, which is the volcanoes. And, you know, the big prophecy is all around the ring of fire that goes around the Pacific, so.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a matter of seeing what happens.
Wind, yeah, you had earth, air, wind, and fire. Let's see. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the volcano that went off in Mexico not long ago, that's a little one, but it's the discussion right now seems to be surrounding it over whether there's going to be one big thing that happens, you know.
Well, the Earth opened up like an 18-mile crack in Mexico or
right.
in the last
years
or within the last 9 months. So there's
Well, what we see happening is that there's a lot of little things going on that's kind of like relieving the stress.
Yep.
And so we're in a position right now of deciding how extensive it's going to be by our behaviors and our belief patterns.
Yeah, what's going on with the Earth right now kind of reminds me of my mom when she loses her temper.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know that you could say that she's losing her temper as much as she's going through a life change.
Well,
you know, like we all go through different life changes as we're growing older. And, you know, like, like menopause, okay, for older women and midlife for men, you know, where suddenly gravity has more relevance in our life. And so she's making the shifts, and she's growing, and to think that anything else is going to happen because, you know, one of the biggest problems I see is that we've gotten so distant and so far from believing things are alive that, you know, just because they can't talk to us doesn't mean they're not alive. There are other ways of communication.
Now we got
an atom moving, it's alive, you know?
Now we got Mother Earth on PMS. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, kind of. I would say more going into labor.
a creator in a midlife crisis.
Yeah, there you go. I know. I've been really. I got struck by lightning a year ago. I took people out on Vision Quest, and I got struck by lightning. And so my doctors have been watching me, and I've been healing like through traditional ways, but having documented through other ways, because I want people to see that the old ways work. You know, so unfortunately, a lot of that has to be documented through contemporary ways.
To get burned.
But one of the things is that all of a sudden I'm really tuned into the mother. So like, when things happen, it's like my body gets these, and it's almost, you know, if you think back to the stories you would hear about people with arthritis, how when it's going to rain, their arthritis kicks in and stuff. And I actually have experiences like right before the earthquake, the whole earth shook and I fell. And yet I was not at the place that the earthquake occurred. So there's different things that happen, and I'm watching this, and I'm going, wow, this is really interesting, because as the energies come in and humans evolve, we feel more of that interconnection. So, you know, I'm amazed, because I watch all these folks that come to me, and they're complaining about all these physical symptoms, and I'm like, well, you're just feeling the earth. That's all that's happening.
Yeah.
So,
that's pretty serious, getting hit by lightning, you know.
It
wasn't any coincidence, because there's a lot of people that they get hit, and then all of a sudden they're turned on psychically or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know the Incans in my family got really excited about it. They're like, okay.
we've
been doing ceremony ever since. The ceremony that they've got me doing is a progressional series of rites of passages that'll be over with probably next spring. But it's been interesting, because I find through the rites of passages and the traditional medicines and stuff that I'm getting better. You know, there was some neurological damage and stuff that happened, but it's all healing itself, and things are getting much better. And yet, statistically, when I look at Western medicine and what they provide me to study about other people that have been hit by lightning, it's not a natural occurrence. It's like the symptoms continue on until the end of their life and stuff like that. So so it's interesting. It's kind of like a new area of study for me, so I get all amped up over it.
Well, now you're working with, is it the What the Bleep Do We Know people? Is that how I found out about you?
You know, I don't know how you found out about it.
Well, there's
we don't work with them.
There's a big conference that you work with. It's a group of other people. I can't remember which one it is.
Well, we did one pilgrimage for the Prophets Conference.
That's the Prophets Conference.
Yeah, but we don't work with them anymore. We did one thing for them. They hired us as guides.
Okay.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of interesting personalities in there.
Yeah, they do.
Yep.
But, you know, every group does, so.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's, you know, on the New Age folks, you have to give them credit, you know, for well, they are fulfilling prophecies because, you know, they started listening, but, you know, only two or three generations after their ancestors were killing us.
Right.
And now you got the flip side situation where, you know, a lot of the full-bloods aren't listening anymore, and they're out in denial and basically kind of acting like white people used to, greed and social power and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like the world's upside down. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And but we're really past the crest of the wave with prophecy keepers, because the New Agers, they actually were listening to the prophecies more 10 years ago than they are now. They seem more to be interested in pilgrimages now.
Right now they're interested in getting out on the land. And
you
know, that's my favorite kind of thing to do, is take people out on the land. So for me it works really well. I think the biggest healings come from just sitting them down next to a tree. So seldom do they step out and actually make that contact.
Yeah.
I agree. I what I find, though, with the New Agers, and I don't want to call it New Agers, it has such a connotation.
Yeah, it does.
Lack
of a better word, we'll call them.
And it's not just them, it's our people, too, and that is that everybody, all the children of the Four Directions have got into this frame of mind that they want this microwave fix in a minute, you know?
Yeah, that's
And it's like, they don't want to put in the work. They go to a workshop for a weekend and either come out and say I'm an expert at something, or I'm healed or I'm not healed. And yet, you know, I believe our traditional healers, and there are miraculous healings, and I've been witness to some and been involved in some, but it completely takes looking at your entire lifestyle and changing it around and coming back full circle with the earth, or it's not going to happen, you know? And what I see is so many people go into this stuff, and then they don't trust that it's even going to work. Like, before they're even out of one of these workshops, they're planning their next workshop to heal the same thing. And it's like, well, if you don't believe it's going to work, what kind of power does it have? You know, because the power in that connection is all that's all fed by our belief system.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's
kind of... You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Plus, they need to address all the levels, not just, you know, like... I see spirituality as a place to hide, too.
Yep. Well, that's awful hard when there's been such a disconnect for, you know, hundreds of years. Where do you start? You got to start somewhere. And I suspect what's going to happen is that, well, you know, the Chickamauga Cherokees have a prophecy that eventually will go through all this time of invention, then will be taken back to the dirt.
Right.
And because Creator had something to teach us by going through this culture of invention, but there just comes to a certain point where you can't be taught anymore without taking you back to the dirt, literally.
That's right.
And it's going to be very, very, very hard on a lot of people. I know it's going to be real hard on me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 200 pounds overweight. You know, plan on losing at least 100 of that in this next year. And but because I know if I don't, you know, I'm just not going to be able to operate and get out and do planting and gardening and all that other kind of stuff. But I'm not alone.
At least
I'm not diabetic. You know, so many of us are diabetic. And my wife's recently found a good remedy of about, I guess it's about 14 different herbs. There's some interesting things that are coming out of in natural healing. There's been a lot of talk, but seems like they're starting to get some things right, because this stuff she's taken, the second day she started feeling the energy rush, and
good for her.
Well, you know, it's guaranteed. You drop 50 points in 30 days, you get your money back.
Very good.
And if you're not ecstatic about it in 365 days, they will give you your money back. So.
Yeah,
well on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good things, but then you have people fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds.
Oh yeah.
You have the interest that. But according to what I've read, if this were 100 years ago, 95% of the people that are diabetic would not be diabetic.
That's right. And you know, they found a correlation. My son did research when he was in college, and they found the correlation between the introduction of dairy products.
Yeah.
With the diabetes. So basically, if we just took all our kids off dairy products, we'd probably be at least 75% better.
And they recently found something that's in white flour that caused problems too. I know. Well, there was one traditional Bear Clan Navajo elder, Alan Nezcai. He lived Cortez, Colorado, and he was 61. I think he'd had two amputations and was just about ready to die. He was on dialysis. Matter of fact, he died a few months later. We threw a traditional honor powwow for him, and all he could preach was, "Hey, you know, 40% of us are diabetic. 15% of those people are on dialysis." He says, "Get off the white man's sugar and flour and everything." He says, "Not to be racist, but if it's white, you know, stay away from it because it's not this."
I understand. My grandpa, he lived to be 103, and the one thing I always noticed about him was he was always reading labels. And what he taught me, I still teach today. Basically, if you cannot pronounce it, do not put it in your body.
Well, Alan's father and grandfather both lived to be over 100 years old, and he died at
62.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, a lot.
Yep.
A lot.
It's a sad situation because diabetes hits Native people harder than it does white people.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely...
And they're poor. They can't afford a better diet. They're saying it's the type of fats that we're eating also.
Mm.
And they're highly processed fats. And,
yeah.
And so, well, they're recommending, you know, get back to olive oils or coconut oil and and stuff like that. I know Betty had a tumor pop up on her left shoulder. My wife, Betty, had a tumor pop up on her left shoulder blade last February.
Yeah, I remember. Uh-huh.
And she started taking coconut oil, and it immediately started shrinking. And it was smaller when they got in there. It was smaller than it was when they CAT scanned it or MRI'd it.
Very good.
It did some good.
Very good.
It did some good. It's expensive, $50 a gallon, but it's worth it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, see, that's part of the lifestyle change that has to occur. It's like, how are we valuing our lives? How are we valuing the earth? It's like, okay, yeah, it's $50, and that's going to take a bite out of the budget, but is it worth it if it's going to improve our lives and
well,
let us live longer, happier lives?
She just started taking a teaspoon of it. She didn't really as much cook with it as she just ate a teaspoon of it.
Yeah.
And well, what do you think of, do you know much of the Lipan? Because the grandfather Stocking Wolf, who's given us so many prophecies, was Lipan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Apaches say, well, he didn't even exist, but it's Tom Brown Jr.'s teacher.
Yes.
And, but they're Texas, I understand they were Texas Apaches, but he left the rez at a young age.
Uh-huh.
And never really went back. He
right.
started walking all through the Americas.
Yeah. I'm familiar with some of Tom Brown's work, and I actually have friends that the folks, Penny and James, Penny Livingston and James Stark, that are the Northern California Permaculture Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Northern California Permaculture Institute, it's a mouthful. They work with John Young, who is one of Tom's apprentices, has done a lot of stuff. So they offer a lot of classes that are oriented around the information that he got.
Mm-hmm.
I have found it to be really, really helpful with a lot of people. Somebody's walking on my roof. Sorry about that.
Open it to the feds.
No, my landlord's been doing work, and I guess he wasn't around all morning, and then all of a sudden it sounds like he's up on top.
He's freaking out.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I have found that a lot of the people that I might be a little too traditional for, I find that upon occasion I need a translator, you know, that next step towards that understanding, that common ground, that understanding. Communication is really hard because if you base it in our cultures and our experiences, and we can be speaking the same words but have them mean completely different things.
Yeah.
And so everybody's making this assumption that we're understanding each other.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Well, that's good. And it's nice that, you know, the audience can, you know, I mean, they're not here on the phone with us, but...
Yeah.
But what I try to do... I had no idea in 1977 when I married my first wife what being led by the Spirit was. And, you know, and she, kicking and screaming, you know, she,
uh-huh.
you know, taught it to me. And so that's the way I run this show. You know, unless a guest absolutely insists, and there's only been one, that sent me a bunch of questions to ask him. And, I just, because that's the track he runs on, and
yeah.
that's a big deal, but I just let Spirit run this show,
uh-huh.
and, you know, usually we have a show every week, You know, we've had less than four shows a month the last couple months, but, you know, we're going to have three or four interviews this week. It's just,
very good.
It's just, you know, it's just the, things are changing. And I got to let Spirit run this show. If I didn't, we couldn't keep it funded.
That's good.
So we have to, we just have to run it that way. And
yeah.
So that if you're out there, folks, and you think Prophecy Keepers is kind of a wreck because we're not on a schedule like, you know, coast to coast, well, that's just the way it is. We're on Indian time.
Yeah.
That's what it's like, so.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, well, what's the immediate future hold for you?
Well, I'm going up to the San Francisco Bay Area. Next month I got a week of workshops and different things to do up there. And currently working on two new books and just seeing where life's going to take me.
Do you know a fellow in San Diego area named Grandfather Hummingbird?
I don't know him, but I have relatives that do.
Huh. I've gotten a letter from him.
We have two grandmothers, you know. We have the clan elder system in our circle, and we honor the kids and we honor the elders, and we try to teach people about how to live traditional lifestyles in contemporary times. And so we have a couple of the grandmothers that have been here forever. My adopted Cherokee mom, she was head of Native American Studies here for a long time at San Diego State, and then another Yaya. And they're both friends of his.
Oh, I'll be darned.
It was my understanding that he's not getting around really well these days, but he's kind of up there.
Hmm. Well, shoot, maybe we ought to have him on the show.
Maybe. I can get Yaya Colette in touch with you. She would be the one that would know where to find him.
Yeah. He's not on the internet, but the people that he teaches contacted me, and then he called me.
Oh, very good.
And we talked for a while, but I really wasn't sure who he was or what he was.
Yeah.
I just couldn't tell, you know,
if he
was a traditional teacher or because the language he was speaking in, New Age folk would understand a lot more than I did.
You
know, that's not unusual.
When I first started teaching and New Age started coming into my life, I actually needed somebody to translate for me because I was like looking at people with this blank look on my face like, what are you talking about? So I understand that very well.
Okay, alrighty. Well, he's, there's a lot of different bands. Oh, California's got, they got so many different bands that people probably know. I'll bet of the 550 that are fairly recognized in this country, probably 100 of them are in California.
Well, probably there's lots of little groups. I think we have like 50 just here in San Diego County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch around that I grew up part of the time down around San Juan Capistrano, Laguna Hill.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And they're getting ready to get recognized.
Yeah.
Boy, it takes money. I'll tell you, the last few that have been federally recognized, it took, you know, $500,000 or more, and
that's
a lot of money.
I sat and I was an advisor to a woman that was working with the Scout Club in Connecticut when they were trying to get their recognition.
Oh.
And I think that just went through like last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it opens doors and closes others.
Yes, it does.
And it kind of, it just seems like, well, I guess a band that I belong to filed, the Indian Creek band, Chickamauga Creek people, and they, and I parted company over another issue, but I guess the BIA required you have a certain number of people that had to at least 112.
Right.
And or it wouldn't fly. And but after that, you know, I mean, there's Menominees, I mean, if you're married to somebody in the tribe, I mean, you're a full member.
Right. Yeah.
It depends on the tribe.
Yeah.
What they want to do. I know the Cherokee Nation gets laughed at because 90% of them look white, but
yeah.
You know, from the time of your before European contact, you know, if you were 11th generation, one drop of Cherokee, you know, 1/1064th, you know,
Cherokee.
You're still Cherokee.
Yeah.
But now you have people that laugh at that just because of white. Well, you know, I tell the Lakota and other Sioux people, I said, you just wait another 50 years, you'll look just like us.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, 50 or 100 years, because, you know, we were some of the first people the whites came in contact with, and now
right.
They're.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, we hear that a lot of their half-breed children, you know, the half-breed Asian children, half-breed black children,
yeah.
You know, just kind of being thrown away. You know, orphaned. You know, and some of these bands in the.
I hadn't heard that, but I wondered. I knew one man. Yeah, and I know I have lots of Lakota friends, and they're really great. But I have met. You know, there was the one man I met about 15 years ago, and he was married to an Apache woman. That's how I met him. And their children were half Apache and half Lakota. And yet, he refused to teach them his traditional ways because of impure blood.
Yeah, yeah. And that's their culture, you know.
I'd like to think that it's not the culture, but just a few individuals. But
yeah, who knows?
You know. I have heard that there is this belief that they will be the last of their race.
Yeah.
It's all kind of.
Well, Charles Yao.
It's the Bible. You can look in different areas and find different things.
Well, Charles Yao is a.
And I'm not real familiar with the Bible, but that is what little study I've done of it. I have noticed that you can just find whatever you want supported.
Yeah, pretty much.
Side of the court you're on.
And Charles, my friend, an attorney, Charles Yao. He's from Missouri. He's a Missouri mixed blood Cherokee, but he lives down in Mississippi. But I haven't heard from him since the hurricane, so I don't know if he's still alive.
Yeah.
But he had a practice on the well. He was the tribal council for the Oglala Sioux tribe,
uh-huh.
And he opened up a. As a matter of fact, you can go to redcloudlaw.com or yowlaw.com, he got real close to Oliver Red Cloud and was doing some good things on the Rev. And, you know, there's this thing between the Cherokee and the Sioux that goes way back. And a lot of them laugh at Cherokee. And he said, and they laughed at him too, because, you know, he looks white. He said, but there was this one meeting where he recalled the story of how the Cherokees chased the Sioux all the way from the East Coast out onto the plains.
Oh, I know that story.
And he said the elders, he says, after that, he says, the elders called him in and he said, because you have told us that story, we will now respect you. We respect no Cherokees that do not recall that story and relate it to us.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. In other words, it's like they don't, we will not validate you as a Cherokee traditionally unless you know that story. And which is kind of interesting, you know, because they can be difficult people, and they're as far as their religiosity is concerned, you know, it's much more liturgical. In other words, you know, the what they say in their ceremonies is. Kind of set it more in stone, and you know, it's like the difference between the Catholics and say, Universal Unitarian Universal,
right.
You know,
more dogmatic.
More dogmatic on one end and totally free form on the other. And Cherokee,
right.
You know, Cherokee, everybody. There is no set medicine. Everybody develops their own. yeah. And a lot of the medicine that they learn, they never teach to anybody. It's just theirs.
Right.
And they just develop it. And that just goes to show you the diversity of culture. And, you know, my teacher, John Redhead, he says, diversity is the mark of creator. He
yes,
says, see, you really can't talk bad about anybody because they're different. So that's the way it's supposed
no.
to be. Well, we do get mad at him sometime, I'll tell you.
yeah, but who doesn't? You know, it's part of being human.
Yeah, sure.
So, hey, listen, bro, I'm going to have to get going.
I was just
going to
say, Spirit just told me the interview is over.
Okay. Well, you're lucky.
Amazing.
You have a good journey.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
I'll let you know when it's up online. You can let your 500,000 friends know.
okay, honey. We'll talk
thanks
to you later.
A lot. Hey, bye-bye.
I'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfasts and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of 2/3 of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
Like a love.